You don't know what goes on in people's minds. People may look happy on the outside, but aren't on the inside. Every 40 seconds, someone in the world dies by suicide. And every 41 seconds, someone is left to make sense of it. This is a very, very serious subject that nobody really likes to talk about. Suicide. Hi, my name is Rebecca Paredes, and this is A Helpful Heart, where we spread love and helpfulness by bringing you all the latest info about different organizations and where to get involved. On today's show, we have Robert Gale.
Gale.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi.
All right. So let's just jump right into it. So how are you involved with suicide prevention?
I got involved probably in the around the 2000 with a support group called Survivors After Suicide. I had experienced a lot of suicides in my family, close personal friends, work associates, and I went to this group to help me deal with some of those losses.
Ooh, that's great. And they really made an impact in you that you wanted to actually help?
It did. One of the things that I learned right away was that suicide's nothing to be ashamed of. I was ashamed to say that my best friend had committed suicide in front of me. I was ashamed to say my dad took his own life. I was ashamed to say that I knew police officers. I was a police officer for 30 years with the LAPD, and I had a lot of friends that committed suicide. And I was ashamed that I couldn't either prevent it or detect it, yeah, or I chose to ignore depression when I saw it. So that's what was my impetus to get involved and then to see if I can make an impact with other lives.
And what were the steps, the process for you to, I guess, understand and overcome it?
Meeting a lot of people that have gone through this before.
Yeah.
The loss of a husband, wife, mother, father, child, spouse. I met a lot of people, and I was able to hear their story. We shared stories. We were able to talk about what steps they took to overcome the stigma of suicide. And the more I learned, the more I wanted to get more involved. And eventually I became a board member on the board of directors for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. I got involved with Survivors After Suicide. I became affiliated with the D.D. Hirsch Mental Health Services and the Teen Line, which is a hotline for teenagers.
So can you give the audience a little more background about suicide prevention and, like, more in depth about, like, all the things you just mentioned?
Okay. Suicide, it's funny. I was just thinking back. There was a thing on Facebook maybe, I don't know, 8-9 months ago. Do 22 push-ups a day and nominate other people to do them to remember the 22 veterans. Military veterans that kill themselves every day. And that statistic, even though it spread like wildfire on social media, it really didn't have an impact on reducing suicides. As we sit here, chances are, 22 veterans will kill themselves today in this 24-hour period. Suicide is the second leading cause of death for our youth. From the ages of 15 to 24, suicide is a second leading cause. That's horrible.
Yeah.
Especially for our young children, suicide, results from bullying, depression, kids just feeling that there's no way out. No one likes them. They don't fit in, and they're depressed. And the sad thing is, people ignore it. Instead of asking, when you see someone that's depressed, instead of asking them, are you suicidal?
Because it's not a common thing to say.
It's not a question. People feel very uncomfortable. I ask that question all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And the answers I get are pretty amazing. Probably more than 3/4 of the children I talk to admit, 1 out of 5 children that I talk to admit that they've thought about suicide. Wow. These are high school age. Let me just keep it at high school. 1 out of 5 of high school children have thoughts about suicide.
Wow.
And like I said, it's the second leading cause. It's rampant in the military. One of the reasons that it's so bad in the military is because active duty soldiers cannot go to their commanding officer and say, I have depressive thoughts. If they do that, if they say they're experiencing depression or any other mental illness,
yeah,
their career's finished. So they have to do it in secret. They have to either keep quiet about it and endure the pain, or...
And is that happening still right now?
Sure, of course.
Whoa.
The VA is making it easier. The Veterans Administration is making it easier for veterans to come in and help. But it's still very it's difficult for soldiers to admit it. It's difficult for members in law enforcement or fire to come forward because, like I said, their career will be over. Okay. As opposed to maybe at a place like this, you know, more of a liberal environment, you know, people can say, yes, I'm depressed, and but still, the peers are the ones that that need the training the most. Because when's the last time you asked one of your friends if they were depressed and they felt like killing themselves?
I haven't.
Even if you've noticed the depression.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the major things that I when I go talk to youth, to encourage them, don't be ashamed. Don't think there's a stigma attached. Everybody goes through depression.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been divorced. I mean, that was horrible. And I didn't want to talk about it. And thankfully, I had some people that came and helped me through those phases. And that's what we try to do with suicide.
So how are you bringing awareness to this issue?
We go to high schools and we talk. And I'll bring a team of speakers. I'll bring usually a high school age student that has attempted suicide. Hmm. I have a, you know, there's a stigma, especially in the LGBTQ community. And... you know, I know a lot of people that are transgendered that think it's almost a requirement to be suicidal to be transgendered, and it's really weird. But that's what I hear. This is the when I'll go to communities. This is the feedback I get. People say it's like that. Parents don't want it, especially parents. They don't want to discuss it. I go visit families who have lost loved ones to suicide, and speak to the survivors.
Oh, really?
The surviving family members who are impacted. Mm-hmm. For every suicide, there's probably 4 to 6 people that are really, you know, closely impacted by the death of their loved one. And there's really no formal treatment plan in place for those people.
Yeah.
And so Dee Dee Hirsch has the program Survivors After Suicide. And so we'll go out and talk to the people and work with them and show them that, you know, and we hope it'll help stop that, you know, that trend, and that these people will be advocates to suicide prevention. So it's just getting the word out, education wise. I mean, I see it. Joan Rivers' daughter is one of our Dee Dee Hirsch's spokespersons.
Oh wow!
And Ronda Rousey was at one of our fundraisers, the
cool.
Fighter.
Yeah.
And speaking out about it and talking candidly about her depression,
mm-hmm.
and her thoughts of suicide. So, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your economic status is or whether you're from Guatemala or from Poland or wherever you're from. It no one's safe. You know, I've been to Holmby Hills, you know, talking to a family whose father jumped off the Long Beach Bridge. And he was a famous movie director in Hollywood. Doesn't matter what your social status. When you're depressed, when you're upset, you're blinded. You don't see any alternative other than taking your life and ending the pain. And that's what suicide is. It's a way to end the pain. And the cure? Well, there is no cure. But the thing we can do best is to go out in the community and talk to people and encourage them. When you have a loved one that's depressed,
seek help.
Seek help.
All right.
And know where to send them then.
Yeah. How does someone get help if they have no one, like a supporting family?
Right. You know, that's where you have to twofold. One, the organizations that I'm affiliated with, Dee Dee Hirsch, Teen Line, AFSP, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, they have websites. They have 24-hour call-in centers. Teen Line is unique in that when you phone Teen Line for help and you say, I need to talk to somebody, I'm suicidal. Well, when you're a 15-year-old girl that lives in Pacoima and you phone that number, well, the person on the other end of that is a high school student that's gone through training.
Oh, wow.
So Teen Line is manned exclusively by high school students. Dee Hirsch, we have volunteers from every walk of life that when you phone the hotline, the suicide hotline, there are trained people on the line. And these are just normal people that have gone through several months of training to learn how to talk to people and to listen. And then, you know, to establish a relationship and then be able to direct them to get some help. And usually, 9 out of 10 times when someone phones one of those hotlines, it's a call for help. They're reaching out, and the person on the other end of the line will help them. And they will, you know, and I call it saving a life. They'll save a life.
Yeah. Have you ever been a part of the hotlines?
Mm-hmm. Many times.
And have people actually came back to you and told you thank you?
A couple times. I've had in my law enforcement career, I had talk to officers and families, and you know, they told me, yeah, I was really thinking about it, and
talking to you helped me.
And on the flip side, I've actually had people I talked to that actually committed suicide.
Oh, really?
So that's tough. You naturally question if I did something wrong, but once again, it's when someone's in that deep of pain, the only thing they could see is a way out, and that was suicide. And a lot of people don't understand that, you know, when they make the decision to take their life, they've made a decision to end their pain.
Hmm. Yeah. So what are some warning signs that is when you see somebody that's suicidal?
You know, the first thing you'll notice is depression. You know, people are depressed, they're withdrawn, they don't want to talk to friends. They might be either drinking too much, or they go the other way. If they were, social drinkers, they don't touch alcohol anymore. They stay away from all the stimulus that helps mask their symptoms. But usually what you see is people, they'll start taking drugs, alcohol, antidepressants. They'll ask their friends or neighbors, hey, do you have any Xanax? Or do you have any, anything for depression? And people say, yeah, I've had some heart, and they'll come up with excuses. They'll start, now we make it easier for a lot of people to get anything, especially the youth. You can go to a clinic, one of the 420 clinics and get the legal pot. And I'm not against those clinics at all. I'm against making it too easy for people to get prescriptions just to get high.
Yeah.
Marijuana is being proven to be a successful drug in treating many, many illnesses, including depression, including, chemotherapy.
But there's people that will do it for the sake of being high instead of actually
for. But if you notice somebody that's overdoing it with drugs, overdoing it with alcohol, overdoing it with, going the other way, just taking risk and being crazy. If you notice a change in their behavior, it's something you should take note of. What's happening here? Then that's the main thing. And, just noticing a change, noticing depression. We walk around, I see people depressed every day. And someone should say, are you okay, Rebecca? You're crying today. What's going on? Oh, nothing, nothing. Well, tell me about it.
But sometimes people don't like to talk. So how do you make the person kind of warm up to you? How would you do it?
Well, I take a little different approach. I don't have I used to have a big problem, but with asking a specific question. But I ask questions now. Rebecca, are you thinking about taking your own life?
Straightforward.
Have you considered killing yourself? And I just keep my mouth shut and let them answer. And I'm amazed how many people say, "Yeah, I have thought about it." And that's the first step. And if they admit it? And if they even say they're thinking about it, then you have an opportunity to talk. Tell me what's going on with your life. I know an organization you can call. You don't have to even talk, see the person. And they can maybe can direct you to services. And that's the whole thing. And sometimes it's even good just to get them to see their family doctor. Talk to the parents. Talk to your wife. Have you told your wife you're suicidal?
Yeah. There will be people, though, that don't want anybody to know but you. So how do you become a safe haven for somebody?
Well, when I talk to high school students, I'll really encourage them, if you see somebody that's depressed and they won't talk to you, go talk to somebody. Talk to the principal. Talk to the school nurse. Talk to a counselor. Talk to their parents if you know them. Talk to a sibling. Just tell someone. And you know, especially with school authorities, it's a really, you know, that show that's on Netflix, 13 Reasons Why.
Yes.
You know, there's a big conversation going on about that. But, you know, there's been movies all through, you know, Hollywood, you know, from Ordinary People to Revolutionary War.
Yeah.
You know, Revolutionary Road. You know, bringing the subject forward. And that's it. You just make someone aware of it. And don't give up. You know, if you see the person still depressed, you know, talk to the counselor, talk to the parent, talk to the person again. Just keep the person engaged in a conversation and let them know that someone cares.
Do you think without you going to high schools, there would be a bigger increase of people feeling suicidal? Or do you think they feel like when you go into the schools, do you feel like they are actually taking in what you're saying, or they're exactly like if you were not even there?
You know, I see people, and this is based on just students coming up to me afterwards and thinking, like I said, I bring a team in. I bring a mother that lost a teenage son. Mm-hmm. I bring a member of the LGBTQ community.
Yeah.
I bring another, there's usually three or four of us that go in there and we speak, you know, from different ages. And so I see a positive response. We don't keep statistics. The organizations that I'm with, you know, specific per high school or, you know.
Yeah.
But we know from feedback from the teachers, the fact that they invite us back because they said the students have been talking about this for weeks. And so when we have that much interest, I know there's an impact.
All right.
And the fact that the death rate among children are not astronomically rising.
Well, they aren't.
No, they're not.
Wow. So back to 13 Reasons Why. So how do you think it was portrayed of the suicidal, all that? What is your opinion about it?
Well, I'm a writer.
Okay.
So I write screenplays and teleplays and books. I'm grateful that they brought it to the forefront. I'm grateful that people are watching. The fact that I'm reading and hearing comments, you know, a number of people are saying, why do they have to bring this up? Why do we have to see this? Indicates to me that that we need more. We need more of this.
Because people do need to talk about it.
They do need to talk about it. Depression in high schools is rampant. Like I said, I just read, the last full statistics I read was from 2015.
Yeah.
And depression amongst high school students is 1 out of 5. 1 out of 5 high school students admit that they're depressed, that they've overindulged in alcohol or drugs, that they don't feel like they fit in. That's 1 out of 5. And I'm sure it's the same thing here at Pierce College.
And do you think that with a specific group, or not specific, but just a group of people, they can affect somebody's life that bad, like in 13 Reasons Why?
Sure. Sure. You know, you see the fact that they're sending those cassette tapes around and people are listening. And how many of those kids listened to the tapes and they just made jokes and they went on with their lives? You have one, you know, the protagonist in the movie, you know, the boy, you know, he goes on, he's taking it seriously. But you look at him, I'm going, I wonder if he's going to be suicidal at the end because he's taking so much on himself with guilt.
Do you think people, when they find out that a student has passed away, that they blame themselves?
Some do. You know, like I said, I've seen it all. I've seen students where they just make jokes about it. When I was in high school, we lost a classmate to suicide. And when their homeroom teacher announced her death, a couple guys in the back snickered.
Really?
And so it was, I was taken back by that. You know, finally the teacher had to tell them just to you know, leave the classroom. She was so upset with these boys.
Yeah.
But there's all sorts of reactions. You have girls crying and people just sitting there solemn, but there was no other discussion about it. None.
Yeah.
Now, when there's a suicide, they'll, you know, the school will bring in counselors and and to intervene in you know, like we do if there's a traumatic death, like a Columbine incident. They'll bring a whole team of people in to deal with the survivors, anybody that's witnessed trauma, you know, to help offset the PTSD that's going to set in.
Why do you think people feel like suicide is the answer to all their problems?
Because when, I don't know if you've ever been depressed, but there's members in your audience that are going to say, I've been depressed. And they're going to say, I mean, I've said it myself. Would anybody notice if I wasn't here? Would this world be any better if I wasn't here? I'm making my life, I'm making this person miserable, I'm making that person miserable. If I wasn't here, or I have an incurable disease and I can't see any way out of it. I don't want to live like that, so I'm going to kill myself. And once people make that decision, their life changes. The pain gets better. The depression, you know, goes away because they've come up with a solution to stop whatever's causing the pain and depression. And you know, it's a shame. You know, like I said, I've never, you know, I wish we could talk to people up in heaven. Okay, let me ask you, when you just, did you ever think about your mom and dad or your wife or your kids before you shot yourself? I still have friends that I meet with that are involved with various organizations, SAS, and that we celebrate. We do walks. We do D.D. Hirst is doing an overnight 24-hour walk to raise funds for suicide prevention and awareness. And but the number of people that I know that we still honor our loved ones.
Yeah.
I never forget my dad's anniversary, and I never forget to talk about depression to my family, my grandkids, and to tell them don't ever get in that position where you think there's no help.
Yeah. So how do you educate yourself correctly about suicide?
I get my information from reputable organizations like D.D. Hirst, Teen Line. You know, they have websites, they have information posted, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention.
To get help, but to help as well, right?
Correct, okay. Correct. You know, and each of those websites will tell you, you know, here's how you can help. You could be a volunteer, you could help financially, you can go through training. So there's a lot of ways people can help. And there's a lot of education out there that people need to just to read through and see that there are ways to help people get through this.
How does mental illness get involved with suicide? How do you think it gets involved with suicide?
Well, and that's directly related to the campaign Erase the Stigma.
Yeah.
People don't commit suicide outside of having a mental illness. Anybody that's depressed, it's classified as a mental illness. Depression, post-traumatic stress, whatever the cause of your depression, whatever the cause of PTSD, it doesn't matter what the cause is. It's a mental illness, and any illness can be treated. You can treat the symptoms. You may not be able to cure the disease, but we can treat the symptoms. And that's what we try to do. We try to treat the symptoms of depression through education, through encouragement, through helping, guiding people to professional, you know, whether it's a psychiatrist, psychologist. I have acupuncturist friends that actually claim that they can help treat, you know, depression through acupuncture. It doesn't matter what the treatment is. It's the fact that you're introducing a patient to somebody that can help, and that's the important thing.
So what are some goals you have actually achieved while working with the suicide prevention?
Well, my goal is to, number one, I'd love to see, you know, suicide eliminated, you know, totally, but it's not going to happen, you know, knowing human nature. But we can make an impact on some of the groups that are really suffering a lot, and statistically they're growing. The veterans, we can do things with veterans. Open more treatment centers, you know, put a priority on it. It's not happening in high schools. They could have mandatory, you know, every semester, you know, a suicide awareness day.
Yeah.
And some schools do. It's an individual thing based on schools, and where they bring in experts from all over, and they engage the students in conversation.
So has there been any challenges as well?
No. You know, I just see more and more people stepping forward. You know, we I'm affiliated with a lot of celebrities. I know a lot of celebrities that will step forward and talk about suicide prevention. Tom Hanks is one that never hesitates. Melissa Rivers, Joan Rivers, whose mother killed, you know, died. There's a lot of celebrities, or their father, her father committed suicide. There's a lot of celebrities that can, you know, attract the press and bring this to the forefront. And that's what we need. People to step up and step to the plate and take on this issue.
So as for the future, how do you see suicide prevention?
We're gonna go on. Hopefully people will learn. All they have to do is say, honey, are you hurting? Is there anything I can do? Are you depressed? You're not thinking of doing anything silly like killing yourself, are you? That's what we need. We need more and more people to be able to ask those questions.
And talk about it.
All
right. And what would you like our listeners to take away from this interview?
I'd like them to realize that depression is not anything to be ashamed of. There's no shame. There's no stigma. And parents whose kids are depressed and or wives or husbands, or it doesn't matter who, don't let that stigma of mental illness prevent you from saving your loved one's life.
All right. That's all the time we have for A Helpful Heart. Thank you so much, and good luck on finals. Bye-bye.